The New Yorker once wrote, "The human mind is averse to uncertainty and ambiguity. From an early age, we respond to uncertainty or lack of clarity by spontaneously generating plausible explanations."
The locations on today's list must terrorize that part of our brain, because so much of what happens in these triangles is unsolved and unexplained.
But over the years, humans have created reasons for most of it. Serial killers, UFOs, even Bigfoot have taken the blame for a lot of the activity.
What you're about to hear may not be fully criminal, but it's up to us to determine just how plausible. Hey, all you weirdos, welcome to Crime Countdown, a Spotify original from Parcast. I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena. Every week, we'll highlight 10 fascinating stories of history's most engaging and unsettling crimes, all picked by the Parcast Research Gods.
This episode, we're counting down the top 10 Bermuda Triangles. A lot of things on this list I feel like could be chalked up to coincidences, and I do believe in coincidences, but some of these places are just too mysterious for my liking.
Yeah, I would say that's putting it lightly.
Yeah, honestly.
I don't always believe in coincidence. Sometimes I do, but I often don't. Like, it can happen.
Yeah.
But I always lean more towards like a concrete reason instead of just dumb luck for something happening.
I think that's just how your brain works. Yeah. Like, I don't think you have like a non-logistical part of your personal brain.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's hard for me.
But I think the reason we tend to blame these kinds of disappearances on more like supernatural things is because the other part of our brain just has to store this terrible information in kind of like a lighter way.
No, that definitely makes sense. It feels like, I always feel like assuming that we know everything there is to know about the worlds around us and beyond is like kind of absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very like one, like myopic to think that.
There's just too much out there.
So I think postulating that these things may be happening because of something outside our realm of current knowledge kind of thing isn't necessarily a bad thing to do. The only time it can get a little hairy is when it can sometimes fail to give loved ones closure because they're left with like too much ambiguity and it becomes paranormal and supernatural, which takes it into a weird place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I agree with you. Well, I have 5 terrifying triangles and so does Elena, but neither of us knows who's going missing first.
Let's start the countdown.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and 2 tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, life after death. You'll hear great thinkers on these subjects and more on the Paranormal Podcast, the longest-running podcast of its type. I'm Jim Harold, and I invite you to join me as we explore the mysteries of life. I bet you love these topics just as much as I do, but don't worry. I won't tell anyone. Join me for some great paranormal conversation. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
10.
I'll start us off with number 10, the Dyfed Triangle in Wales. The village of Broadhaven in Wales has been the site of multiple UFO sightings, including an infamous experience by an entire class of children in 1977. But while that story has become legend in the town, it could also be the work of a really good prankster.
Ooh.
That class of children in 77 included then 10-year-old David Davies, who, quote, described seeing a silver cigar-shaped craft with a dome covering the middle third. Another sighting 2 months after the kids was Rosa Granville, who ran a hotel in a town nearby, and she, quote, described seeing an object which looked like an upside-down saucer and 2 faceless humanoid creatures with pointed heads.
Oh, just that?
Just that little thing.
What a description.
I think because of that, pranksters are heavily suspected. One man admitted to walking around that area in 1977 dressed in a silver suit. Like, it's a prank. It's not a crime. So yeah. I guess he can.
He's like, what? I just put on my best silver suit and I walked through there.
And it was my day.
What's the problem? It was my day.
I don't see the issue here. It's possible it was military personnel wearing, quote, standard fireproof uniforms, and the UFOs were new Harrier jets flying over.
Sure.
But no one has ever come forward to say they made up what they saw. There were never, quote, abductions or missing persons reports to blame on this, which is usually the case.
That's true.
Wouldn't it be funny if impersonating an alien and causing public panic was a crime, though?
Imagine being charged with that.
Nope.
Is that like a badge of honor or a blacklist thing?
I probably a blacklist.
Somewhere in the middle.
Nine.
Number nine on our countdown is the Bass Strait Triangle. The Bass Strait is part of the area of water that separates the states of Victoria and Tasmania in southeastern Australia. Certain disappearances caused it to be associated with the Bermuda Triangle, specifically the case of Australian pilot Frederick Valentich. On October 21st, 1978, Frederick straight up disappeared while flying in the area.
Amelia Earhart style.
I hate when planes just poof.
I think most people do hate that.
I can't listen. I hate, like, anytime I hear a story about it, it sends me into a tailspin.
Because it's
no
scary.
No pun intended. With a tailspin. Whoops.
Oh, didn't even notice that.
His last exchange was when he radioed that he spotted a strange aircraft nearby, but was told there was no other air traffic.
And he was like, yes, there is.
And
he's
like, guys, I see it right there. And they're like, no, Frederick.
Uh-oh.
He reportedly stated, quote, it's not an aircraft.
Oh!
In regards to the flying object. And then he was gone.
That's terrifying.
That is so ominous. I can't even deal with it. No trace of Frederick or the aircraft were ever found, which is really sad just in general. But then you say aliens and you're like, what?
Excuse me?
This got so much scarier. So people suspect it's UFO related.
It sounds like
it. And prior to this, Frederick did study UFOs in his free time. And it's like, imagine being his family. You can never really get closure on this.
No.
So here are the other possibilities, though. These possibilities are he faked his own disappearance.
But he had a family.
He did, but it's happened. He planned to take his own life, maybe?
Maybe.
He became disoriented while flying and crashed into the sea.
I see, and that makes the most realistic sense because it's like he got a little, like maybe he like envisioned another
UFO. Yeah, I mean, it's UFO. Logical. Maybe something happened, but all of it is sad.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Frederick.
Eight.
Number eight on our countdown of the top 10 Bermuda Triangles is the Bermuda Triangle of space.
Okay.
There's a region in space above Earth that for some reason does not result in spaceships vanishing, but causes major disruptions whenever spacecraft enter the area.
I love this so much.
I knew you were going to love this. I had a feeling that you might get jealous that you didn't have this.
Oh, I am.
This area is above the South Atlantic, stretching from Chile to Zimbabwe. And it's also known as the South Atlantic Anomaly, SAA. When astronauts or spacecraft fly through this area, the radiation levels are so high that computers stop working. And it mostly just wreaks havoc on satellites.
Gotta know why.
I need to know.
I need to know.
It's like that whole like dark side of the moon thing.
Yes.
Yeah, where they like hear weird stuff.
I know.
It scares me. The Japanese satellite Hitomi crashed down to Earth in March 2016 after entering the South Atlantic Anomaly. The Hubble telescope passes through the area 10 times a day, and it's unable to collect data during these moments.
I love this.
I love it so
much. I love
it. I really just want to know, like, I want to find out that aliens are just, like, kind of, like, messing with it.
Yes, they're just messing with it in that one little area.
And like, they just kind of, like, toss it somewhere or something.
Yeah, they're like, go on your way.
I love it. But astronauts do report seeing white flashes that can't be explained by anything tangible.
And I believe the astronauts.
I do, too, but maybe that's what an alien is.
They're astronauts.
I don't know.
Maybe they're just light.
Perhaps. Who knows? Not us.
I don't.
Now, the main concern is the inevitable increase in spacecrafts carrying humans that could be launched in the future. In the near future, actually. SpaceX, Virgin, etc. Should we have no-fly zone laws in space like we do here?
Yeah, probably.
I think we should make that one a no-fly zone for sure.
Yeah, after hearing that, yes.
I don't want to fly there.
Seven.
At number seven this week is the Nevada Triangle.
Ooh.
I've never heard of this one. An area of the Sierra Nevada Mountains between Reno, Fresno, and Las Vegas has seen thousands of, wait for it, mysterious disappearances. The most famous disappearance has been that of famous adventurer Steve Fawcett.
Spooky.
In September 2007, Fawcett disappeared while flying. You know that thing I love.
Yeah, that's all for you.
I love that so much. That afternoon, authorities were contacted, and so began the largest search the state had ever seen. Because when rich people go missing, everyone shows up.
Ain't that the truth?
Everyone just flies out of their houses. Conspiracy theories obviously began, saying he sailed away, maybe to avoid current business ventures that were going on.
All right.
Which is, you know, plausible.
Yeah.
The entire search cost around $1.6 million.
Oh, so like not super expensive at all.
Yeah, totally. Not a big deal.
On a budget.
The state paid for it all, even though they tried to get some back from the estate. They did eventually find his body and crash site. Unexpectedly, and are you ready for this? They also found evidence of over 2,000 other plane crashes in the area. That spanned the last 60 years or so.
What?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, whoops. We found 2,000 other plane crashes.
How do you just stumble upon 2,000 plane crashes?
It's like the evidence of them. It's insane.
Like, what do you go home and tell your partner that day?
You're like, it's been a big day.
Hey, what's up? I found 2,000 plane crashes from the last 60 years. How was your day?
Yeah, exactly. Well, foul play doesn't seem to play into them, which is crazy. It's possibly more just weather related, plus the terrain.
So I guess another no-fly zone.
Crazy.
Wow.
Six.
Landing at number six is the Falkirk Triangle in Scotland. This area has been dubbed the UFO capital of the world. There have been thousands of reports of people seeing unexplained objects. It's seen as similar to Roswell as a hotspot for sightings and is home to one of the few criminal investigations involving a UFO.
Yes, Scotland.
I am obsessed.
The homeland.
That's us. In the 90s, the Falkirk Triangle was all the rage for UFO sightings. Several people reported an object hovering over the road and then flying away at incredible speed. Or a cigar-shaped craft buzzing past their car.
What?
Like, imagine you're on your way to work in the morning, you're like stuck in traffic, you're super tired, and that happens.
And a cigar-shaped UFO just buzzes past your car.
And you're like, did I just see what I think I saw?
I'd just be like, I need coffee.
Literally, I'd be like, well, we're stopping at Starbucks. Yeah. Then in 1997, a member of the Falkirk District Council was so sure there were UFOs that he wrote to the Prime Minister to investigate.
I love this so much.
Me too. Now, the Ministry of Defense said it was, quote, satisfied there is no evidence that the UK's airspace might have been compromised by hostile or unauthorized foreign military activity.
Yeah. We get that. We're talking about aliens.
Yeah, it's like, that's not our question, sir. That criminal investigation case came from forestry worker Robert Taylor, who claimed to see an object hovering near his truck.
Why are they hanging out near cars?
Now get this. He lost consciousness and woke up next to his truck covered in bruises and his clothes were torn, as if he was physically assaulted.
So they are hostile.
I guess so. And police recorded that as an assault.
Yeah.
The official police report plus his sighting combined to make a rare example of a UFO being involved in a criminal investigation.
That one is definitely my favorite.
I was just going to say, so the last one wins.
Yeah, the Falkirk Triangle. I'm like, what now?
I'm here for it.
I don't know why I haven't heard of it before.
I know, especially because like we're Scottish.
Yeah.
Weird.
I was like, come on.
Also, the 2,000 plane crashes just found in Vegas.
I thought it was a typo at first. I literally thought it was a typo. That's insane. I think
that's so funny.
That's so insane.
And then I had no idea that there was a Bermuda Triangle in space.
No.
Like, excuse me?
I need to go on such a deep dive about that.
Space terrifies me.
But you know what? There's at least one that I'm very excited to talk about.
Me as well. And I didn't get it, so I'm sure you probably did.
I'm so excited.
Actually, there's two that I didn't get.
Ooh, I wonder if I got them both. Let's see.
Every so often, something so impactful happens, it has the power to capture the attention of a whole country. An event so deadly or dumbfounding, it has no choice but to live on in infamy. Hi, Parcasters. It's Ashley Flowers, and I'm exposing the most sinister cases from the darkest corners of the globe in my new True Crime Limited series, International Infamy. Every Tuesday, come along as I guide you on a wicked world tour. 15 different countries, 15 infamous crimes. Take a trip to Iceland, where six people confessed to a murder that never actually happened. Journey to Mexico, where a lucha libre wrestler moonlights as a serial killer. And travel to New Zealand, where two friends hatch a deadly plan to become famous. Each episode of International Infamy explores the twists and turns of a notoriously high-profile case, zeroing in on the cultural details which make the crime unique to its location, and explaining why it couldn't have happened anywhere else. Follow my new Spotify original from Parcast, International Infamy with Ashley Flowers, and catch a new episode every week. Listen free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five. All right, let's jump back in with number five on our countdown of Bermuda Triangles.
Starting off the second half of our list is the Bridgewater Triangle.
Yes.
This is the one I was waiting for.
I knew it.
Also known as America's Bermuda Triangle, this area encompasses a 200 square mile section of southeastern Massachusetts. What? It's between the towns of Abington, Freetown, and Rehoboth, forming a triangle. These areas have a history of unexplained spiritual, criminal, and satanic cult activity.
And get this, we're sitting in the middle of
We're sitting in it right now as we talk about it. So the most famous part of the triangle is definitely the Hockomock Swamp, which the Wampanoag tribe named the place where spirits dwell.
And boy, do they.
And colonial settlers referred to this place as, quote, the Devil's Swamp.
And boy, is it. I'm just kidding.
A lovely place, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But it's like everywhere, too. When we grew up, it was like, you know, all our sports teams were like the Hockomock League.
Yes.
And all that. It's everywhere. It's after everything. The swamp is also known as, quote, the heart of the triangle,
mm-hmm.
And it definitely is. There have been multiple sightings of strange creatures in the area, including giant dogs, flying dinosaurs, ghosts, and Bigfoot, and old guy named a Pukwudgie.
Oh my God. Guys, yeah. Go look into those.
Go look up Pukwudgies, I'm telling you.
They're terrifying, but also adorable.
They are. So the Freetown State Forest is a terrifying place.
Hate it.
And it's located in this triangle. We covered it actually in our Scariest Forests episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talked about this on Morbid a little bit. There's been multiple reports of murders, bodies have been discovered, and satanic cult activity in that area specifically.
Mm-hmm.
The most notable crime here was in November 1978, when James Cater kidnapped and murdered teenager Mary Lou Aruda. I remember hearing about that case. My parents have told me that case.
It is brutal.
Horrifying. Now, we can't leave out the paranormal either.
Nope.
If we're going to talk about this place, of course we have true crime, but we have tons of paranormal. A Sonnet Ledge has had numerous ghost sightings, and on Copacabana Road, there's a phantom truck driver. And everyone has seen this phantom truck driver.
Mm-hmm, literally everyone.
And Hornbine School in Rehoboth is supposedly haunted.
I've actually never even heard of that school.
Yeah, that one I haven't heard of much.
No.
I'm gonna have to look into it. This one I definitely know, though, and you know it. Route 44 in Seekonk.
Yep.
reports of a red-headed hitchhiker, which everyone in Massachusetts or around here has grown up hearing about the red-headed hitchhiker.
You say Route 44, and you're like, there he is.
There he is. Well, what he does is he disappears when anyone tries to pick him up.
Yeah, like, people will be so sure that they saw him, and then you, like, pass by, and you stop, and you're like, he's not there anymore.
And sometimes he'll appear in your back seat.
Which I'm not for.
I'm not for either, but he does it.
Four.
Landing at number four this week is the Michigan Triangle, also known as the Lake Michigan Triangle. The triangle starts from Manitowoc to Ludington and then down to Benton Harbor, Michigan, and takes up around two-thirds of the lake. There have been numerous reports of shipwrecks, plane crashes, and UFOs over the water for over 160 years. So let's walk through this timeline of sus activity.
I don't know about this one.
Neither do I. And it dates way back to 1870.
Oof.
The Thomas Hume straight up disappeared with no trace of a shipwreck. It was eventually discovered in 2005 at the bottom of the lake.
Ooh.
Like, no trace. And then they're just like, oh, hey, what's that boat down there?
Yeah, whoops. Bad
terrifying.
Ending.
Another ship called the Rosabelle was found floating upside down and the crew missing.
I hate that.
No, thank
hate
you.
It.
In 1912, the Christmas tree ship, because it was carrying Christmas trees, that's why it was named that, never arrived at its destination, but it was spotted at some point with a distress flag.
Oh, that gives me like goosebumps.
I know, and it's like, if it was spotted with a distress flag, did anybody go to help it?
Hey, distress means help. Could you have done that?
And then a year later, which is, this is the creepiest thing you're ever gonna hear, Christmas trees started washing up on shore.
No.
No thanks.
No.
That, like, way to make Christmas terrifying.
Oh, I hate that.
The ship was eventually found sunken in the lake, but no one knows how it got there.
I hate it.
Like, excuse me?
Oh, just Christmas trees, like, randomly washing up on shore. I don't know why that just gives me the willies.
I know. I don't know either. Ugh. It's very creepy.
You could tell me arms washed on shore and I wouldn't be as creeped out as
it makes
trees.
More sense, unfortunately.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it keeps going. Around 1950, a plane carrying 58 people disappeared over the lake and has never been found.
Where are they?
I don't know, because they've never been found.
Where are you, 58 people? I hate that.
I don't know. And then in 1978, a student named Stephen Kubacki disappeared for a little over a year after leaving footprints leading up to the lake.
Ooh.
Now, get this. He reappeared, and he was over 700 miles away from his last known location and just straight up couldn't remember the last 15 months.
What's going on with this lake?
Supernatural forces.
That's terrifying.
Now, obviously, weather is a big deal here, but could there be, like, domestic pirates attacking ships?
I don't know. I have no idea. This is terrifying.
I don't know what to think.
Three.
Number three on our countdown of Bermuda Triangles is Japan's Dragon's Triangle, aka the Devil's Triangle.
Oh, okay.
It's the big one.
Here we go.
Located in the Pacific Ocean, in the middle of Taiwan, Miyakijima and Iwo Jima, also known as the Devil's Sea, rumors of strange occurrences have been around since 1000 BCE. The stories range from the extraterrestrial to the mythological to lost underwater kingdoms.
Ooh.
The exact location of the triangle is disputed.
I want to go to a lost underwater kingdom.
Right?
That's all I want to do.
Just Atlantis in there somewhere?
Like, let's go.
So the name Dragon's Triangle comes from a Chinese myth, which states dragons live underneath the surface and their movements suddenly churn up waves, whirlpools, thick fog, and sudden storms.
I am obsessed with that ideology.
Right? I am both terrified and obsessed with it.
I'm going to tell my kids that's
why storms
happen.
I want it to be real, but I also don't want it to be real at all because it's really scary. So in 1952, a Japanese research ship was sent to investigate the waters where there was a suspected underwater volcano. So cool. Well, it disappeared.
Not so cool.
Underwater volcanoes or volcanic activity is a mystery because it's nearly impossible to study.
Very
the
true.
The sea is the scariest place ever.
Because we just have no freaking
idea.
We
know nothing about any of it. We know, like, this little, like, tiny sand
blip.
Like, just boop, that much.
Yeah, we know there's coral, and that's about it.
We know, boop, there's whales down there. That's all we know. Eventually, rescue ships did find that Japanese ship's wreckage mixed with pieces of volcanic rock.
Ooh.
Weird. It said that monstrous typhoons wiped out two enormous fleets of ships 7 years apart in the 13th century.
The thought of a monstrous typhoon is not something I'm into.
No, I'm not into it at all. Well, the second fleet, from around 1281, was made up of over 4,000 ships. A ship from that fleet was actually found by marine archaeologists in 2011 off the coast of Nagasaki, Japan.
That's
what?
Yeah.
That's insane. In 1955, the ship Joyita went missing. Years later, a wine bottle with a message in it washed up on shore in Australia.
Shut up.
The message said, quote, abandoning ship. Strange circular metallic object forcing us aboard it. Help us.
I'm sorry.
End quote.
I don't know how to help you.
I don't know what to say about that.
What did you say? Strange circular metallic object?
Yeah. So now it's
forcing us to board it?
And now it's like we need intergalactic laws against alien kidnappings, apparently, because that's what happened.
How are you going to put that into rule, though?
And also, I want to know if that was going on. Did that person just grab a piece of paper while people were going onto the strange circular object and be like, hello, we're being forced onto that, and just shove it in a bottle and throw it?
But really the only thing is, like, how do we know that that's, like, for realsies?
It's for realsies. I know.
I want it to be for realsies. I also don't want it to be for realsies.
How is that last one not number one?
I think we should just leave right now. Like, sorry, guys.
You know what? I say that, though, and number one is number one because I have it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
But that one's wild.
That's insane.
It's wild.
My favorite is probably that one. And so I have two favorites, that one and the space triangle.
Yeah. And Michigan, I had no idea Michigan had a triangle.
See, that's not my favorite because it just, no. Christmas trees washing ashore, not my favorite.
That's what got me with that one.
We're down to the final two spots on our countdown of Bermuda Triangles. At number two is the Alaska Triangle. The Alaska Triangle stretches from Utqiagvik on the north coast to Anchorage and to Juneau. It covers a large area of wilderness that's seen thousands of disappearances of both people and aircraft. It's considered more deadly than the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, okay, Alaska.
Okay, stepping things up a notch here.
You got moose and you got a more powerful triangle. We get it.
It's like all stars two for triangles. It's important to note, though, that the rate of people reported missing in Alaska is almost twice the national average.
Wow.
Isn't that so scary?
Yikes.
It seems unfortunately obvious that with a terrain that includes, quote, sprawling forests, icy mountain peaks, and desolate tundras, there are bound to be disappearances, accidents, maybe even criminal activity, and deaths.
Yeah.
But according to Discovery.com, quote, out of the hundreds of search and rescue missions conducted every year, state troopers rarely find any trace of bodies, dead or alive.
That's creepy.
I know, right?
But it's also like wildlife,
maybe? And like weather, like the elements and everything. Who knows? The Alaska Triangle went mainstream in the media in 1972 when U.S. House Majority Leader Hale Boggs' airplane vanished. No wreckage or bodies were ever found.
Oh, that's always the triangle's way.
It is.
That's a triangle's MO.
It's what triangles are all about. Before that, in 1950, a military craft carrying 44 people went missing, and because triangles, nothing was ever found.
Come on, triangle.
Get it together. In 1990, a Cessna 340 with five people, including a very experienced pilot, were never seen again. It's
Stop.
Like all these people just vanished.
No, I hate it.
One theory for the disappearances is the Kushtaka. The indigenous people known as the Tlingit believe that some otters are actually shapeshifters that look like men. I'll give you a second to wrap your brain around that.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
They lead hikers deeper into the wilderness so they get lost.
Ooh, creepy.
Terrifying. And then in 1992, Chris McCandless starved to death in the wilderness. His story was told in the book and then movie Into the Wild.
That's a terrifying story.
I can't even.
One.
And that brings us to number one on our countdown of the top 10 Bermuda Triangles, the Bennington Triangle in Vermont. This is an area in the southwestern part of the state that has, like every number on this list, been linked to UFOs, Bigfoot, and also strange lights and sounds, and what's been described as, quote, gruesome activity. All dating back to the late 19th century.
I am not here for gruesome activity.
We covered this on Morbid, and I could not stop looking into this. It blew my mind.
It's so scary.
So within the span of a few years, there were so many disappearances, it was suspected there may be even a serial killer in the area.
Which I'm still not ruling
out. Yeah. In 1945, a skilled woodsman disappeared. He was leading a hunting party and broke off from the group for a moment, and then was just never found again. In 1946, Paula Jean Weldon went missing, no trace, and theories included serial killers, Bigfoot, or even aliens.
I gotta say, aliens get blamed for a lot.
They do. Maybe that's why they probably are mad at us, because they're like, thanks a lot, guys.
But they're probably up there like, hey, we actually want nothing to do with you.
We don't want to hang out with you guys. Now, Paula is one of what's known as the, quote, long trail disappearances. We talked about this in the episode, which includes 5 different missing persons cases in the area. It's like that specific trail.
It's so strange.
In 1949, James Tedford took a bus to Bennington, but didn't get off, and his luggage was still on the bus. He just vanished without anyone noticing.
Didn't get off the bus, but got off the
bus. But his luggage was still there. It's so strange. In 1950, Frida Langer went missing while camping with relatives. She knew the area, disappeared in the middle of the day, and was not far from her campsite. Her body was eventually found. However, they couldn't tell how she died.
Which is crazy.
And the body was found in an area that had already been searched.
And that was something that happened, like, this is not the only time that happened in this triangle.
That part is crazy to me. They had already searched that area, yeah. And somebody just happened to go back over and they found her.
It's
so, like, where was she?
Creepy.
In 1950, 8-year-old Paul Jeffson went missing from his mother's car after she stepped away for a moment, and he was never found.
That's just heartbreaking.
He was also wearing red, which should have made him easier to see. And local legend is that wearing red in the area is bad luck. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you not to wear red on your hike up there.
Yeah, because there was another girl that went
missing.
There was
missing a couple of people.
A red coat.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it might have been Paula. One of them was missing wearing a red coat, too.
Yeah.
So don't wear red if you go hiking there.
It's like a horror movie.
I definitely think the Bennington Triangle was number one.
Easily.
I mean, maybe this is just me being like, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But I think the Bridgewater Triangle is pretty gnarly. I think it was good that it was high on the list.
Yeah.
But I think it could have been number two. I'm just saying. Here I am just going out on a limb.
I think it was good where it was.
I think it deserves a light. It has Pukwa G's.
That is true.
And we have satanic cult activity. We have murders. We have ghosts.
Just making your case.
Guys, I'm making a case.
Everything on this list had all of
it's that. It's not going to change, but I'm making a case. I don't know. I love it, though.
But I don't think they left anything off.
No, in fact,
I know of.
They introduced me to new triangles. New geometry for me. I appreciate it.
Hey, yo.
Thank you, podcast
new geometry
research gods.
And geography.
Yes.
But Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another great episode.
Remember to follow Crime Countdown on Spotify to get a brand new episode delivered every week.
You can find all episodes of Crime Countdown and all other Parcast shows for free on Spotify.
And if you like this show, follow @Parcast on Facebook and Instagram and @Parcast Network on Twitter.
And if you like us, which we hope you do, you can follow @MorbidPodcast on Instagram and @AMorbidPodcast on Twitter. And between now and Monday, we really would like you to stay away from triangles.
Maybe try some rectangles.
Yeah.
Crime Countdown is executive produced by Max Cutler and is a Spotify original from Parcast. It was created by Max Cutler.
Sound design by Kristen Acevedo with associate sound design by Anthony Valsic.
Fact-checking by Cara Mackerlin.
Research by Rachel Mellenkoff.
It's produced by John Cohen, Kristen Acevedo, and Jonathan Ratliff.
With production assistance by Ron Shapiro. We're your hosts, Ash and Alina Urquhart.
Hi, listeners. It's Ashley Flowers, and here's a quick reminder to check out my new True Crime Limited series, International Infamy. Every Tuesday, I'm taking you across the globe to look at 15 of the most notorious crimes from 15 different countries. Some stories are sure to shock, some may leave you stumped, but all are quite the trip. Follow my new series, International Infamy with Ashley Flowers. Listen for free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.